And I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Ed Rosenblum. He is the director of the Santa Fe Backgammon Club. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So backgammon, who knew? I mean, I learn new things every day, but backgammon is a game that's 5,000 years old?
That's correct. It was found in Mesopotamia. There's old backgammon boards that existed in that time. And even 1,500 years later, at King Tut's tomb, they found backgammon boards. So he seemed to be a big player.
Are they the same as the ones that we use today?
They're different, different number of checkers or stones and different number of points. But the game was played basically the same way.
So what? Tell us about, okay, so that's the history. It goes back 5,000 years. It's a game of two people playing against each other on this board, which is kind of complicated in that it's made up of these long triangles, and you have to go in a kind of U-shape, and the two players are going in opposite U-shapes. But what do we know about it as it developed up to the game we play today?
Well, no one knows where the board originally came from and the design originally came from. But the game has evolved tremendously. It was very popular in the 20s and also in the 70s, and it was played without the aid of computers, so people would guess at what the best moves were. And the better players normally prevailed because they would learn over time what were the better plays. Today, and particularly in the last 20 years, we have the computer to help us determine exactly what the best moves are. So the game is going through a major transition right now where players can actually, they take pictures with their little iPhones and then they put them onto the computer and say, okay, what did I do wrong? And you learn constantly about the game.
But doesn't that take the fun out of it? I mean, shouldn't you be able to keep that in your head?
Not at all. There's 74 billion positions in a single game. So there's no way you can learn them all. So every game is different. Every game is a different challenge. It's sort of like multiple Rubik's Cubes are all at once, playing the position, looking at your timing, deciding whether you should hit an opponent's blot, which is a single piece, or make a point, or position your checkers in a certain way to restrict his movement, called a prime. It is a tremendous learning experience. At our club, I've watched the players come in from beginner to move into an intermediate, and some of them moving even to an advanced stage over time.
Now, I think I know how you're going to answer this, but is backgammon a game of more of chance or of skill?
The answer is basically yes. The game has both, and that's what makes it so exciting. An expert player will prevail over a period of time. So we play our games, we play matches. So the matches may be 5, 7, 9 points, which gives the luck element a chance to dissipate. What happens is that, you know, in a single game, the really good player can be outdone by just a lot of luck on the less good player. But over time, and I go to a lot of tournaments, and over time, the best players always prevail.
How long have you been playing?
40 years.
Really?
Yes.
And consistently?
Strongly at the beginning in the 70s, then a little hiatus for a number of years, and then in the last 3.5-4 years, very heavy playing. Because of the transition of the game from trying to figure out what was right to knowing what is right and being able to justify a move and say, oh, this is absolutely right or this is absolutely wrong.
Are there different kinds of players? I mean, in chess, for example, there are some players who are super aggressive, and there's a whole range of almost personalities. Is that the same in backgammon?
Yes, it is, but style evolves. A novice player will be very tentative. They'll be very scared to make moves where they might get hit. They'll always be racing. A more experienced player knows when it's the proper time to hit, and it can be a lot more aggressive. So what I see more is it depends on your level of play, more determines your style of play.
Is there a psych-out element in the kind of psychological relationship with your opponent?
There can be. If you know your opponent, we play with a thing called a doubling cube, which is a whole fascinating piece of itself.
What's that?
Well, it's a cube that has the numbers 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, and 64 on it. And a game starts off at 1 point. But at any point in the game, someone can pick up the cube, the player can, and say, I want to play for twice as much. And they turn the cube. And the opponent can say, well, I either accept that and we play for twice as much, or they drop it and the game is over and they move on to the next game. And once you have the cube, if you accept it, you have the cube at two, and then you own it, you possess it, and you only the player who owns the cube can turn it again to four should the game turn around. So what makes the game exciting, and getting back to your question, can that you psych someone out, is you get in a position that you can double them and you expect them to drop it, so you get your point very easily.
Ah. You are the director of the Santa Fe Backgammon Club. What's that all about? You meet on Wednesdays.
We meet on Wednesdays at the Flying Star Cafe at 6 o'clock, little plug. And the goal of the club is to learn backgammon. We have beginners, we have intermediates, and we have advanced players. I teach and I have regular classes at the club. I have also classes that I run, group classes and individual lessons. So that's wonderful. We have a special backgammon board for teaching. I present problems to the class and they're always around. And we have a wonderful group of people that play and enjoy themselves. And it's really just fun. And for the audience, don't be intimidated. It really is fun.
So you just show up at 6 o'clock at the Flying Star in Santa Fe.
Yes.
And you get to play backgammon all evening.
That's right. And if you're a novice, you play for free.
Ah. So the Flying Star must be delighted to have you there on Wednesday nights.
Yes, they are. They're delighted to have our group there. And we generally have anywhere between 12 and 16 players in the summer and about 16 to 20 during the fall. But there's also a Scrabble group that meets there on Wednesday nights, as well as a chess group that meets there Wednesday nights. So it's sort of game nights.
Do you all know each other?
We know some of us know each other. We walk over and watch the chess guys, and they come over and watch us, and the Scrabble people, the same thing.
Do any of them defect to it, like, oh, the Scrabble player, we just lost a Scrabble player to backgammon?
No, everyone stays committed with their own group.
Now, do you have in backgammon national tournaments, things like that?
Yes, there is the American Backgammon Tour, or ABT for short.
Do you play?
Oh, I play a lot, yes. We go around the country and you play in tournaments. In fact, four members from the Santa Fe Backgammon Club are going to the Las Vegas tournament this November, which is a very big tournament. And there'll be about 140 to 160 players from all over the world playing in Las Vegas. And it's very exciting. And this is a five-day tournament in Las Vegas, one of the biggest ones. Most tournaments are 3 days.
Now, you have a website that people can also look at.
Yes, and it's www.santafebg.com.
SantaFeBG.com. Ed Rosenblum is the director of the Santa Fe Backgammon Club. And do you have all ages and all different kinds of people playing?
All ages, everywhere from kids that are 10 or 11 years old. They love the game. They love the probability and statistics about the game, to people that are well into retirement. And we enjoy every type of person.
Ed Rosenblum, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte.